Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, it seems that doctors are upping the ante around the possible closing of St. Vincent's Hospital. A group of physicians who practice at the West Village Hospital are questioning the honesty with which the action to close it down is being taken. Let's find out why from Dr. David Kaufman, a private practice internist, associate director of clinical research at the hospital, and the associate medical director of the St. Vincent's HIV Center. He's been with the hospital for 30 years. And Dr. Eric Legomme, chairman of emergency medicine at St. Vincent's. Dr. Legomme oversees St. Vincent's Level 1 Trauma Center, which sees more than 60,000 patients annually, or at least it has. On Friday, as you may have heard, the New York City Fire Department announced that it was beginning to take West Side emergency cases to hospitals other than St. Vincent's. Of course, the fire department runs the ambulances and EMS. Dr. Kaufman, Dr. Legomme, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
And Dr. Kaufman, let me get right to what might be the news here. Why are you questioning the honesty of the process by which the decision to close St. Vincent's has been made?
Well, we believe that we know that for a year the Department of Health and the commissioner said that the hospital needed a sponsor and a partner to go forward, and reiterated that on numerous occasions, and then a sponsor did come forward, who Mount Sinai Hospital, which became very interested in St. Vincent's and spent hundreds, if not thousands, of hours doing their due diligence, recognizing, acknowledging all the problems financially and otherwise here, and basically said they wanted to move forward, and met with medical staff, met with nurses, met with house staff to discuss and say that. And then there was some communication between Mount Sinai leadership and the Department of Health, and all of a sudden the deal was stopped. And I'm not clear on what that communication is, but I think that we all deserve to know what it was, since the department insisted we needed a viable inpatient health inpatient service on the west side and a level one emergency room, and then all of a sudden a partner came forward to provide that, and then all of a sudden it ended.
You're talking about the state health department and the state health commissioner, not the city, right?
Correct. The State Department of Health and Commissioner of Health, Daines.
So where does the bad faith come in? Where does the dishonesty come in? So far, what you've painted is a mystery.
Well, it seems to me bad faith and dishonest to have a viable, if not wonderful, partner come forward and ready to save this hospital. And then in the space of a single communication, apparently, that evaporated. And I think that, it's a little bit mysterious to me how we can't know what happened, since the state kept saying they would discuss any option in the Public Health Council and publicly review the issues.
Do you think that there's some personal interest involved? Is Dr. Daines acting for some reason, with some kind of conflict of interest here, the state health commissioner?
I really can't answer that. I think one could ask him that question and ask others involved, but I don't know.
I'm just trying to tease out from you as much as you know or you think may be the case. Is there another hospital or hospital chain that may be preparing to acquire St. Vincent's, and that's why Mount Sinai backed off?
There, to my knowledge, is absolutely no other hospital looking to acquire St. Vincent's. The minute Sinai backed off, the state, what would almost seem panic mode, jumped in with an RFP, a request for proposals, to build an urgent care center with a one-week deadline to submit proposals. No, there's no other hospital looking to take over. I wish that were true. Sinai was the sponsor.
Uh-huh. So why wouldn't you conclude that Sinai just looked at their books and decided that St. Vincent would be too much of a financial burden, and they weren't up for that at this particular point in time?
Because after a little bit more than two weeks of looking at every square inch of this hospital and every number and every Medicare contract, managed care contract, they came to the conclusion that they could do it, even though the finances were daunting. And then nothing new that I'm aware of came out in the 4 or 5 days from the last meeting when they said they wanted to do it, and that communication with the state.
So you think somehow, and for some reason, the state health department and the health commissioner in particular decided to get in the way of Mount Sinai saving St. Vincent's Hospital?
I think that somehow there was not enough indication of support for this venture to allow Sinai to go forward. I don't know what was said in that conversation.
Enough indication of support. What would that mean, and why would that be the case? Conceivably, why would the state health department want to get in the way of Mount Sinai saving St. Vincent's?
The only answer I can come up with is that all along, even though they said they wanted to keep an inpatient service here and it was vital to the health of the people that live on the Lower West Side, they've also said that there are too many beds, hospital beds in New York, and they wanted to decrease beds by closing hospitals, and maybe this was a quick and dirty way to decrease beds. That's all I can think of.
All right. Well, let's turn to Dr. Legome, Chairman of Emergency Medicine at St. Vincent's. And Dr. Legome, is it your understanding that ambulances are no longer coming to the St. Vincent's emergency room, or what's the exact status of that as far as you know?
So what we are right now is that we will accept psychiatric patients. There is not a plan in place in the lower part of Manhattan to where those patients will eventually go to. That's been fully worked out.
Emergency. You're talking about
emergency psychiatric patients. Uh-huh. Correct. So patients who require an evaluation in an emergency department, or patients who may call an ambulance and have a emergent psychiatric problem. We are no longer taking any acute care ambulances for any other reason, though.
And since there's no other hospital in Lower Manhattan on the west side, do you know where the ambulances are going or how they're deciding where in each case?
Well, there's a combination. I think some of it is destination policies. Some of it's based on what is the chief complaint. So, for example, I mean, really we're at the point that if someone has what appears to be a heart attack outside or a quarter mile from St. Vincent's, they will go to a hospital that is able to take an acute heart attack, which may be up on 59th Street or maybe all the way across town or all the way at the base of Manhattan. So it's somewhat based on what is the chief complaint or what is the concern that they're having, what are their symptoms. If it's trauma, they will probably go to Bellevue over on 27th and 1st.
Have you heard anything about adverse outcomes for patients as a result of going to further away hospitals?
It's hard to... You never know, is the problem that happened because it took longer to get there. But our expectation is that there's going to be a couple things that probably will lead to adverse outcomes. One is just takes longer to get across town. And you can put the lights and sirens on, but it actually doesn't save you much time, maybe a few minutes. Secondly, these hospitals, we have, as you said, we have somewhere around upward of 60,000 patients a year, and they're going to be flooding essentially the few hospitals left in the lower part of Manhattan. And so the waits for everyone are going to increase, both if they're admitted waiting to get a bed and waiting to get in to see a physician or some mid-level provider. And so that's just going to push their medical care back. And sometimes by some time someone gets to an emergency department, they've waited long enough and their symptoms become severe enough that the longer you wait, the worse off you are. And we know that to be a fact, that the longer people sit in emergency departments, the worse off they do. And so I think that's an inevitable part of what's going to happen due to the closure of the hospital.
Dr. Eric Legome, Chairman of Emergency Medicine at St. Vincent's Hospital. Dr. David Kaufman, an internist, Associate Director of Clinical Research at the hospital and the Associate Medical Director of the St. Vincent's HIV Center. Dr. Kaufman is part of a group alleging that the state, for some reason, appeared to get in the way of Mount Sinai's willingness to save St. Vincent's Hospital. And we can take a few phone calls for them at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Here's somebody calling anonymously. And Anonymous, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling. My husband is a physician at the hospital, and I understand that your guests are uncomfortable probably bringing this up, but there's been a lot of discussion of an issue that you were trying to bring up, Brian, about the potential conflict of interest between the state's Department of Health Commissioner Daines and his relationship with Continuum Partners, which was the first group to try to, you know, that was interested in taking over St. Vincent's and then backed out. But they own Roosevelt Hospital, and Commissioner Daines is a former CEO of Roosevelt Hospital.
So, in other words, you're saying it might be good for business for this hospital chain that Dr. Daines used to run for St. Vincent's to fold, and therefore he may have a personal stake or some kind of allegiance, even if it's not a financial stake, to help this other hospital chain by seeing St. Vincent's go down?
Well, my understanding is based on rumors swirling around St. Vincent's, which, you know, since no one has full information and there's been a real lack of transparency, people don't really know. But my understanding is that Mount Sinai and Continuum are the two entities that at this point are going to be presenting RFPs to the state to take over St. Vincent's, or parts of what is going to remain of St. Vincent's. And these parts, I mean, these two entities, Mount Sinai, to everyone's relief, seemed ready, willing, and extraordinarily able to take control of a lot of things and really lift it up, you know, in a hospital that's been neglected for so long.
So go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, so I was just going to say that it seemed like the kibosh was put on Mount Sinai at the same time that Continuum is being given another opportunity to jump in.
So,
and
if
because of Continuum's relationship mm-hmm. with Commissioner Daines, mm-hmm. that does raise issues of self-dealing or, you know, inappropriate relationships among the players.
So in this version of events, and I should say again that you're saying that this is a rumor going around, as far as you know, and nothing more than that, is Continuum still interested in saving the hospital and running it as an inpatient hospital with an emergency room and et cetera?
What we've heard is that Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
No, what I have heard is that there are two entities that intend to submit or respond to the RFP, the request for proposals that was put out by the State Department of Health. One of them is Mount Sinai, and one of them is Continuum Partners. And Continuum and Commissioner Daines are closely linked.
Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your coming forward, even anonymously, as the wife of a doctor at St. Vincent's. Dr. Kaufman, have you heard the same rumors?
Yes, of course we have. I mean, it's certainly, we hear it in the hall all the time, and we talk about it and think about it. I think that what the caller said, I think it was the caller that said it, is that the issue is there has been such a lack of transparency and a lack of any public discussion about the Sinai proposal that it's hard to not start thinking about what are the other reasons that might be out there. It's hard to avoid the fact that Dr. Daines was the CEO of Continuum. It's hard to avoid the fact that when St. Vincent's closes, which it is closing, as of this moment at any rate, when it closes, the majority of the patients will end up in Roosevelt and Beth Israel, Continuum's two main hospitals.
Is there another scenario there, as she was seeming to get to, under which there's still competition to take over some aspects of St. Vincent's, competition between Continuum and Mount Sinai? Is there any such situation as far as you know?
Let me be very clear here. The competition or the RFP only refers to ambulatory care and a so-called urgent care center, which is not an emergency room. This is not a competition for inpatient services or a true emergency room. The reality is that as of right now, the inpatient services and emergency room services are dead. As soon as Sinai pulled out, that was over. And, you know, the question that we ask and that I ask and that the doctors ask and we will ask tomorrow at a news conference at noon is, you know, what happened? Why was there no public discussion of Mount Sinai's proposal? Why didn't the state come forward to Sinai and say, what can we do to make it work? I mean, let's assume that Sinai was nervous about the finances. And why wasn't the health department, whose responsibility is the health of the citizens, why didn't they come forward and say, what can we do to make this work? How can we work together? They said they think we need an inpatient service. We had a sponsor who was willing to support an inpatient service, and then that disappeared.
Now, Governor Patterson himself was leading the task force, or his office was, to search for alternatives. And after Mount Sinai pulled out, the governor issued a statement saying, "I am disappointed that at this point there does not appear to be a partner for the hospital," and that the task force, quote, "will continue to work with the hospital, unions, elected officials, lenders, and others until every viable avenue is exhausted." Do you think the governor was being disingenuous or less than honest?
Hard for me to not think about that when the next day they also issued the RFP in a panic to get some care in place here.
Dr. Legome, chairman of emergency medicine, I've been leaving you out of this a little bit because I think Dr. Kaufman is more on the front lines of this questioning. Are you also involved in this group of doctors raising these questions?
I'm more involved from the hospital and city side, looking at, you know, what is the outcome from having a hospital close? What is the outcome for the health of the citizens of Lower Manhattan?
So on that point, how dire is this relatively for patients? If the reason that Dr. Dane's continuum aside wanted to stop Mount Sinai from saving St. Vincent's, what Dr. Kaufman said originally is that Dr. Janes and the health department just believe there actually are too many beds in Manhattan, and therefore it's more costly and more inefficient for the state and for all involved to keep this many hospitals and keep this many beds going. No one wants a hospital to close, but I would think most parts of the country don't have as many hospitals per square mile or as many beds per capita as Manhattan probably does. Do you know?
No, I think you are correct in that, although it's a little bit of an apples to oranges analogy, because you're also looking at a very, very dense population center and very difficult transportation, either downtown, uptown, or across town. Plus, you have a nexus of where you have people coming in from Brooklyn, from New Jersey, you have tourists coming in down in the village without health care that's already in place. And so you really have an area that you may say in that amount of patients, or you potentially do have an excess of hospital beds, but you also can't take that across the board and say just because there's an excess of hospital beds, it doesn't necessarily mean there's an excess of emergency care beds. And so we're already seeing on the east side of town the effect of not having an emergency department on the west side of town. You're seeing significant and severe overcrowding at some of the Bellevue at NYU. They're seeing significant increases in their numbers at Beth Israel. I don't know about all the other hospitals, but from what I'm hearing from colleagues, and I think what we're seeing in the paper almost immediately, is these numbers are coming. And if you think about 65,000 patients, an urgent care center is not what they need. If you think about what an urgent care center can do, some things they can do. Clearly, if someone has a cough or a cold, and we of course see those type of patients. But if you look at our 65,000 patients, we use certain triage protocols to look at who are the ones who need more care, who are going to require beds rather than just a chair, who are going to require x-rays, CTs, et cetera. And of those, about 40,000 fit into that group who require extensive evaluation and care. Maybe 21,000 don't. But of those 21,000, they still may have broken bones, they have extensive cuts and bruises, et cetera, that may take some time. And they're just going to wait longer for that. But of the 40,000, if you take those and put those immediately on the hospitals in the general area, that's a significantly overwhelming amount of patients to the system. And at this point, if you look at what happened with the flu season, when it was a lot of patients, although relatively mild, obviously some people did worse, but relatively mild, you had emergency departments who were putting tents in the streets to take care of those patients. So I would say that it's kind of obvious on the surface that there isn't the capacity for that type of patient load right now in Lower Manhattan.
Let's talk to one more doctor calling in. Tom in the South Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, I love your show.
Thank you.
Is the story, and this can be confirmed. I'm going to throw something out, and it's completely, it can be corroborated by many people. St. Vincent's Catholic Medical Center used to be several hospitals. Everyone knows Mary Immaculate, St. Joseph, St. John's, and St. Vincent's in Manhattan, okay? Mm-hmm. Out of all those hospitals, they were all losing big-time money. Mary Immaculate was known to be losing $9 million a year. St. John's was losing $12 million a year. And St. Vincent's in Manhattan was losing at least $50 million a year. The only hospital that seemed to be squeaking by was St. Joe's. I worked at one of those entities that I won't name, but I had instituted a lawsuit to try and stop this. I actually called the then health commissioner, and she told me point blank, there's nothing I'm going to do to stop this. This is a private business matter. And as a matter of fact, Catholic Medical Center wants to divest itself of being a healthcare entity. It's a money-losing concern. They don't have the money to keep this ongoing financial commitment. They are no longer interested. So I will tell you very honestly, and this is all can be corroborated, that when they look for a partner, that is basically a ruse. And basically, they don't want it to work. They want to back out of it. They don't want anybody to continue, and they just want to put the property up for sale. It's very unfortunate, but the health commissioner at the time, 2004, told me, Doc, stay out of this. This is a private business matter. We don't want it. You know, we're not interfering with this. They want to give up their license. They don't want anybody else to come in. And the hospitals give this sort of feigned financial interest. But basically, they know they're going to get all the cards. They're going to get all the patients. They're going to get all the money because when a hospital closes, everybody goes to the remaining entity. So it's in their favor to do nothing. And this can be corroborated. This is totally straight up. Do you have a question?
Doctors, do you have a question? Does this sound like your understanding of the history of the group?
Not really.
I think the call is referring to the prior merger that was in 2000, and I'm not sure how that relates to the current situation. Certainly, I don't agree if he is saying that this hospital, St. Vincent's Manhattan on 12th Street, doesn't want to stay open. We have been trying to do everything possible to stay open, and we're ready to work 24 hours a day with Sinai to pull that off. So I'm not sure what he's trying to
Tom,
say.
Tom, I'll give you another soundbite's length to come back on that.
All right, well, let me just tell you, St. Vincent's Catholic Medical Center, the whole archdiocese, does not have a big pocket of money. They've decided back in 2003, 2004, the board of directors, and they are well known who these people are, I'm not going to mention their names on the air, have decided to divest themselves of being a healthcare entity and concentrate on their main business, okay, which is saving lost souls.
And Tom, I'm going to leave it there. Is it the Archdiocese, Dr. Kaufman, that owns?
No, the hospital is owned by the Sisters of Charity.
And is there perhaps, as Tom is arguing, a real estate angle here that even the Sisters of Charity might have some other mission that they're more interested in pursuing, and so they want to be able just to sell this entity and fund the rest of their work?
The hospital has a huge debt. The real estate's going to be sold for that debt. Nobody's going to get any of that money except the creditors.
Anything else before you go that you're going to announce at this news conference tomorrow?
We're going to have a lot of doctors there. We hope there's a lot of members of the community there, and we need to focus on the fact that an urgent care center is not an emergency room, and we desperately need inpatient services, and we need to know the truth and have some honest disclosure about what happened.
And you want to try to revive the Mount Sinai deal? Is that your bottom line?
I would love that. I would love that to happen.
Dr. David Kaufman, internist, associate director of clinical research at St. Vincent's, associate medical director of their HIV center. Dr. Eric Legome, chairman of emergency medicine at St. Vincent's. Thank you both very much for coming on. I guess this is not over.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, the winner of the Southern Republican Leadership Conference presidential straw poll happens to be the man who came up with Obamacare before Obama did. Stay with us.